We love birds, and we love classical music, and we love when they intersect, which is more often than you think. We featured Lyanda-Lynn Haupt's book, Mozart's Starling. Legend has it a starling sang Mozart's piano concerto back to him. Then there's Olivier Messiaen, who put birdsong in his compositions. And today through Sunday, the Tanglewood Music Festival in Lenox, Massachusetts, is presenting Tanglewood Takes Flight, a celebration of birds and music with Mass Audubon, featuring concerts and bird walks in the nearby Pleasant Valley Wildlife Sanctuary, and largely featuring the music of French composer Messiaen. Here's a selection from Messiaen's The Catalog of the Birds. Boston Globe classical music critic Jeremy Eichler has some thoughts on the inspiration of birdsong. He joins us in the studio. Welcome.
Thanks so much.
We're going to link listeners to the magical story of Mozart and the one that we did. But remind us, he heard this bird sing in a shop, and we know that this happened because he wrote it down. He noted it in a notebook.
Right. So he notated it, and below that he wrote, Das war schön, that was beautiful. And I'm sure it was a beautiful rendition of whatever the starling was singing, but for Mozart, what was clearly the most astonishing of all was that the starling appears to have been singing one of the actual themes from the last movement of his G major piano concerto, which had never even been performed yet at that point.
So, one of my favorite stories.
So how did this bird know? One person speculated that perhaps Mozart had been in the shop himself whistling as he was writing this piece, you know, earlier, and then came back, and lo and behold, the composition was done and the bird knew the melody.
This is at a time where birds played quite a role in society. People would have birds all the time to teach them to sing.
Right. It was very sort of fashionable to have a caged bird as a pet in your home. And then there were these songbooks. I think the most famous was called The Bird Fancier's Delight. And it makes suggestions per bird species of what kinds of songs you might want to teach your bird. And there was actually even a new recorder invented at the time, you know, very high pitched so that, you know, the birds could really understand what you were trying to teach.
Talk about other composers inspired by birds. You've listed several, and we want to hear some passages from them.
Well, there's most famously Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony. There's a scene by the brook that has some very famous bird songs. Opera lovers, I'm sure, will remember from Wagner's Siegfried. There's the forest bird singing out to the hero. Respighi in the Pines of Rome actually plays a recording in the middle of the orchestral climax of recording of a bird.
Well, and now to Messiaen, who seemed not obsessed with birds, but seemed to appreciate them maybe more than any other composer. Talk more about his traveling the world to gather the sounds.
Yeah, so it's interesting when you go back to the 1700s, we had human beings teaching birds the music of humans, you know, the sense that the human beings were the teachers. And then with Messiaen, he goes and it's completely inverted. He calls birds his teachers. And this was a moment in the 1950s when music was coming out of the Second World War and there was this real kind of quest certainly felt by Messiaen and many others for new sources of creative kind of grounding and spiritual meaning for music, You know, these young firebrand avant-gardist students in the conservatoire at the time would sit around the table with Messiaen, and they would literally argue with their teacher to the point that Messiaen would be reduced to tears. Messiaen would say, "Gentlemen, let us not argue like this. We are all in a profound night, and I don't know where I am going. I'm as lost as you," unquote. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to me, it just captures that moment, captures a sense of Messiaen's searching for this kind of new source of values, new sources of beauty. Birds for Messiaen were a source of music and beauty that were particularly appealing precisely because they were completely separate from human history and human music.
Well, and let's remember, recent human history in that moment was World War II. And you remind us that The Abyss of the Birds, he wrote in a German prison camp.
Yes, yeah, this was part of the Quartet for the End of Time, which was written when Messiaen was captured, and apparently the available instruments at the time were piano, clarinet, cello, and violin, so he wrote for those four instruments, and The Abyss of the Birds is a solo clarinet movement within that piece where you hear plenty of birdsong and also this kind of piercingly intense beauty from the clarinet. The Abyss of the Birds, I think we get this sense of Messiaen's use of the bird song in this way that was with more attention to actual details of how birds sounded. You know, composers had this abstract, inspired relationship to bird song before that, but Messiaen took this far more seriously than any other composer before him, you know, filled thousands of pages of notebooks with precise notation about what he was hearing, and then tried to bring these all into his music.
Yeah. He wrote and spoke about this. You quote one passage, "For me, it is here among the birds that music lives."
Yeah.
He's elevating birds to this really sort of spiritual level where some people think they belong. But as you write, he takes poetic license. It's not as if you might hear an exact bird call. Talk about the golden oriole. I think it's the Eurasian golden oriole. And first, here's the sound of the bird. And now, here's Messiaen.
This was from the huge multi-part composition called The Catalogue of the Birds. It was introduced as a kind of introduction to birds in their natural habitats, and the movement titles had the name of the bird in them. You know, people have speculated that this particular movement of The Catalogue of the Birds has a certain beauty and resplendence that perhaps had to do only with the oriole, but also could have a little French pun behind it. It's called Le Loriot, and his own student, who went on to become his second wife, was Yvonne Loriot. So it's a little bit of a tribute, perhaps, between the notes.
This love of composers for birds was reflected elsewhere in the arts. You quote poets, including Shelley.
Right. So in Shelley's To a Skylark, you have this sense of a poet just kind of in awe of the ultimate in beauty. The famous lines he writes, "I have never heard praise of love or wine that panted forth a flood of rapture so divine." It's kind of this middle point between Messiaen and perhaps where we started with Mozart, where you have an appreciation of the birdsong as a kind of perfection and beauty, but also a sense that it's kind of a world apart from human creation.
Jeremy Eichler, classical music critic for the Boston Globe, head of Tanglewood's big celebration of birds in classical music. Jeremy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Robin, for having me.
And we leave you with Messiaen's L'Oiseau Exotique, Exotic Birds, here and now.